so I don't bore you. When you become a Christian, a born-again Christian, it's not about church. It's about your personal, intimate love relationship with Jesus. That's what it's all about. When you became a Christian, God put a gift inside your heart. It's found, don't look at all these verses, it's found in Romans chapter 6, verse 23. The wages of sin is death, separation from God. The gift of God is eternal life. Now, eternal life isn't to live forever. Everybody lives forever. You go to heaven or hell. You hear me say that every time I'm here. So the gift of eternal life is defined in John chapter 17, verse 3. It says this, "This is eternal life, that you may know God the Father and Jesus Christ whom he sent." So when you got born again, asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, asked him to forgive your sins, you came to the foot of the cross, he put inside you the supernatural ability to have a relationship with Jesus and with God the Father through Jesus. So the Christian faith is an intimate, daily, dynamic, ever-deepening, personal, unique love relationship with God the Father and with Jesus Christ. That's what this is all about. So when you come here to worship, if you don't have intimacy with God out there at home in your life, then you're coming here to do something you really can't do, because worship is simply you expressing your intimate, personal, ever-deepening, dynamic, unique love relationship with God. And when we put it all together, we have worship. All right. So inside of you, you have the ability to have a very personal relationship with the living God. So when you get born again, you have an encounter with God, who is love. And then every day you should have an experience with that love, yes, who is God. That would be a great place to say something. Amen? Yes. That's what this is all about. So if you're not doing that, this is useless. This is just playing church. And I'm too old to play anything, but definitely don't want to play church. Okay, when you got born again, in the book of Romans chapter 5, verse 5, it says, he poured out his love and the Holy Spirit into your heart. Okay, so by the power of the Holy Spirit, when you were instantly born again, he poured in himself, because he is love. He poured in by the Holy Spirit his love into your heart, so that you could have this personal, intimate, dynamic, daily, ever-deepening love relationship. You love him because he first loved you. So when you get born again, you can have closeness with God, a personal knowledge of God, who he is, what he's like, what he's doing. You can have a heart-to-heart relationship with God, because it's not about your head, it's about your heart. Yeah. And you connect your heart to his heart. He knows your heart. You need to know his heart for you. Not just for, oh, all the other people in the world. You need to know his heart for you. And then you can have the mind of Christ, so you can think his thoughts. You can know what he's thinking, and then you can also know the plan and the purpose that God has for your life that is uniquely for you. It's different than my life, yes. It's different than anybody else's life, because you're different than any of us. Mm-hmm. All of that comes with you getting born again. So God lives in you. Amen? Amen. All right. So that's what we mean by being born again. You have this serious, close relationship with God, and you're only as close to God as you choose to be. And if you feel far from God, guess who moved? You did. You didn't bother to cultivate the relationship. So when God pours, by the power of the Holy Spirit, his love into you, then you have passion. And the Bible uses a different word for passion. It uses the word fire. And so you're called wildfire here, mm-hmm, right? So you should have this wild passion for Jesus. I mean, incredibly, radically different than anything else on the face of the earth.
Yep.
The trouble is, it slowly disappears if you don't deal with it. And if you don't focus on it. You know, if you're not seeking first the kingdom and his righteousness, and his righteousness is Jesus himself. If you let life take over, and life has a habit of taking over, amen?
Yes.
Life, you know the problem with life is? It's daily. It happens every day. And it just slowly, if you're not careful, slowly sucks you dry.
Yeah.
And then you find yourself not intimately acquainted with God. Ministry can do that.
Oh, yes.
All right? So, this was happening to David, and you'll find it in Psalm 63. In Psalm 63, David is out in the wilderness. He's already been told he's going to be the king of Israel. The current king of Israel is out trying to get his hide, kill him. And so he is hiding from the other king. It's years since he's heard the prophetic word, and it's not coming to pass. And so he is seriously discouraged, disappointed, depressed, desperate. He is down, so down, he's down to down. I mean, he's really down. And here's what he says in Psalm 63, verse 1. O God, he's reminding himself, you are my God, and earnestly I seek you. God is spirit. And if you want to seek God, it's your spirit that has to seek him. Okay. Then he goes on, he says, my soul thirsts for you. So not just do you seek him with your spirit, you're going to seek him with your soul. That's your mind, your will, your emotions. And then he goes on to say, and my flesh faints for you. That's your body. So here's David. He's in the midst of a mess. Things are not happening like they're supposed to happen. And he says, you're my God. I don't know where you are at the moment. And things aren't working the right way. And I'm a little down. And I'm a little depressed. And I'm a little discouraged. And I'm a little... However, I have chosen that my spirit is going to seek after you. My soul is going to thirst after you, and my flesh is going to faint after you, faint for you. In other words, it's going to give its whole to find you. And then he goes on to say, because I'm in a dry and a weary land where there's just no water, no hope. There's nothing happening that's positive.
Wow.
We need to realize that God wants us, no matter what our circumstances are, whether you've heard God, the prophetic words are taking place in your life, or the whole thing is just dead, you need to get the fire back.
Yeah.
It's inside.
Yeah.
God poured it into you by the Spirit. When you got saved, the Holy Spirit came to live in you, and he is the fire of God. When the fire of God, when the Holy Spirit fell on the church in the book of Acts chapter 2 on their birthday, when the church was born, it was fire. And so when the Holy Spirit is put into your heart with the love of God, you got fire. What have you done with it? For a lot of you, it's an ember. Life has happened. Things have happened. People have spoken about you, against you. Gossip happens. You got bullied. Life, you know, all the worries, the concerns, the anxiety, the thoughts, the lusts. All your plans and purposes didn't work out. Summer sucked. Then you die, you know. And the flame goes out. And if we're going to be wildfire, we need fire, not embers. Amen?
We don't want to be wild embers.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't want to be wild embers. Yeah. Or wild ashes. So we're supposed to be seeking after God, the kingdom, and his righteousness with our spirit, our soul, and our body. We seek earnestly. We thirst after these things of God. And we really want, even in the flesh, what God has for us. Amen? Okay. So, when Jesus died on the cross, there were two disciples, and they're not well known, and they became very discouraged and very disappointed because they thought that Jesus was going to become the king of Israel, throw out the Roman Empire, reestablish the kingdom of David, take over the world, you know, and it didn't happen. They didn't wait around for Sunday. They were walking home, and they had a 7-mile walk from Jerusalem to Emmaus. And as they're walking, Jesus appears to them and asks them, why are you discouraged? Why don't you have any hope? Why are you depressed? Why do you seem so driven, so desperate, so sad? And then they tell him the story about this man called Jesus who was supposed to become the king and who died, and he's in the grave. Because they don't know this is Jesus talking to them. And then as he is walking with them, he explains the scriptures to them. Isn't that interesting? Because the Bible says that the Word of God is like a fire. And so as he's talking and sharing and explaining Scripture and showing them who he is through the Scriptures, then he disappears. Goes in and eats, breaks the bread for the Lord's Supper, and he disappears. And here's what they said at that point in time. Were not our hearts burning within us as he explained the Scriptures? In other words, the fire had died. And Jesus came along and went, you need fresh fire. You need more fire. You need fire, period. And they got so excited, they turned around and walked the 7 miles back to Jerusalem to report what had happened to the other disciples. And their hearts were burning within them. And that's what I want to talk about, heartburn. When life happens, and the fire begins to go out, and you don't feel excited or passionate about Jesus anymore, you need to understand it's your task to do what David did. You need to say, I don't know where you are, and I don't know what's happened, but oh God, you are my God. And earnestly, with all my heart, with everything I've got, even if it's not much at the moment, I'm going to seek you, and my soul is going to thirst for you, and my flesh is going to stop lusting after the things of the world, and it's going to start lusting after you. And if you don't do that, the fire will just continue to go out and out and out until one day you'll be stone cold. And Jesus will not even be important to you anymore. I've seen it in thousands of people who were on fire for God, and now they walk with the devil. So God wants us every day to have this experience of him. Did I tell you that God is a consuming fire? So when you have an encounter with God, you have an encounter with consuming fire. When you have an experience with God every day, you have an experience with consuming fire. He's going to consume what he doesn't like in you so that what is right in you comes up. He's a refiner's fire. He's going to refine you. 1 Thessalonians says, do not put out the Spirit's fire. Ooh. Another version says, don't quench the Spirit. Well, the Spirit is fire. It comes down as a ball of fire in the book of Acts. Don't quench it. So what you need to do is you need to seek the fire and get it fresh every day. Paul said to Timothy, Timothy was a guy who was under the age of 25. He's pastoring a church of 50,000 people in a city of 200,000 people. He doesn't know what he's doing. And Paul writes to him and says, fan into flames. Oh, wow. So Timothy was being overwhelmed by life and ministry. And God just said, look, stop, through Paul's writing, stop for a while and just rekindle. Put some new fuel in there. Blow on the embers. So I don't know where you're at, but some of you don't have much flame for God. I watched you from the back tonight. And the worship that was going on. A few of us were raising hands, but not many. When you have a fire in your heart, then what that really means is you have life, God's life in you, and you come alive, and you're different, and people notice you're different. You're enthusiastic. You know, somebody, I was texting back and forth to Brad, you all know Brad from Morton, and he wrote me back and said, you're always so cheerful in your text messages. I don't think about it. Well, I'm in love with Jesus. Why wouldn't I be cheerful? If I die today, I'm going to heaven. I'm going to beat you to it. Nah. So when this love, the wildfire is growing inside of you, you have life. It floods you and grows and overflows out of you. Your small embers burst into flame. All you got to do is blow on them. Fan them a little bit, you will feel alive, you will feel connected, you will feel close to God, you will feel empowered, you will feel excited, you will feel loved, you will feel accepted, and it will show on your face.
Yes.
And some of you, it isn't showing on your face. So you'll have life, liberty, freedom. So if you have had one of those summers, and I've had one of those summers, when at the end of it I thought, oh, thank God that's over, let's see if we can get a better fall going here, then you need to fan into flame the embers that are in your hearts, because God wants our fire to be red hot. Remember he said in the book of Revelations, I have this against you, you're neither hot nor are you cold. You're lukewarm. You're sitting on the fence. And when you sit on the fence, the picket goes where it shouldn't go. So when you're saved, the Holy Spirit pours God's love and God himself lives inside of you. And God is a fire, a consuming, refining fire. Amen?
Amen.
So he's inside of you and there is this fire. And you need to do something with it. And that's up to you to do. So here's what I'm suggesting you do. There's four things you should really do. Number one, you need to take time out. You ever see, I don't watch sports, but I know they do this, you know, time out,
yeah.
We need to talk. All right, you need time out. Stop the merry-go-round, get off.
Yes.
Stop the world, I want to get off. And go take a day, half a day, and get into the presence of God.
Yeah.
If you ask for the presence of God, you will get the presence of God. And there's times of refreshing in the presence of God. That's Acts chapter 3, verse 19. You need to go do that. Nobody can do it for you. Nobody can make you do it. You have to want to do it. And you have to get off your stupid merry-go-round, get off what's happening in your world, and go back into God's presence. Two trips ago, we visited a Hutterite colony. And there was a young man, I won't name him, and he didn't show up when he should have. He was out playing baseball. And so we had supper, we had worship, we had prayer, and we're going home, and I'm tired, and we've been out all day. We've been to another colony before that, and all of a sudden he shows up. So guess what? He wants a prophetic word. Well, I've been in touch with him consistently, almost weekly since then. And he, just after we visited, took a time to go into the secret place and spend time with God. If I read you the email, you would weep as to what God is doing in his life. And that fire, you can feel the fire as you read it. You can sense it. You can. It's there. Just because he took time to be refreshed. Second thing you need to do is you need to let God touch your heart. We approach everything rationally because we're rational people. And we don't tend to think heart to heart, we tend to think head to head. And so we're looking, when we read our Bibles or when we're with God, we're looking for more information, more understanding. You can't understand God, he's bigger than that. If you ever get to understand all of God, you aren't worshiping the God I know. Because that's what all of eternity is about. Because that's how big Jesus is. And so you need to let him touch your heart so that you begin again every day to sense his presence, walk in his power, and have the peace of God that passes all understanding. Amen?
Yeah.
Listen, your world can change tonight, tomorrow.
Yeah.
We had coffee with a man the other night, and two people that he knew and was very close to, they were like his parents in some ways, died on that motorcycle crash just outside of town 2 weeks ago. Mm. You know, the people who died, their lives changed instantly. But so is his. And so if you're not walking with his peace and his presence and in his power, and all of a sudden something screws up in your life, something changes drastically, you're not ready. So get heart to heart. Let him touch your heart. I'm not saying don't understand and don't read and try to study, because you're supposed to do that according to the Bible. But we forget that our heart needs to be touched. David said, I'm seeking after you with my spirit. Well, spirit and heart, same thing. Okay, third thing you need to do is get rid of the things that are preventing the fire from burning and put some more fuel on the fire. So do what he said in 2 Timothy 1:6, fan into flames. Well, you can get a flame for a while, but if you don't put some fuel in there, you ain't going to keep burning. And the fuel happens to be you deepening your relationship with God. And letting him come into things that you haven't let him into yet. There are areas in your life you don't talk to him about. There are things you watch that you shouldn't. There are things you listen to you might want to give up. There are all sorts of things in your life that you need to deal with. And all of us have those issues. So we need to, and the way we fan the flame is to start dealing with issues in our lives and start watching what we read, watching what we watch, watching what we listen to. And then the fourth thing you need to do is read God's Word. I'm amazed at how many Christians don't know the Bible. Really amazed. I mean, seriously amazed. Because Jeremiah 23:29 says, your word is a fire. God said, is not my word a fire? Yes, it is. So you want to put fuel in there? Read the word. Read the word. Read the word. Read the word. You know, I preach a lot everywhere. And so I watch people. And sometimes I'm watching the elders of the church. And I'll say, would you please turn to 1 Chronicles? And they turn to 1 Corinthians. Because they never read the Old Testament. They don't know this, the 1 Chronicles. They don't know their Bibles. And they're elders in a church. I've said to people, would you turn to the Gospel of John? And they're looking up in the index where the Gospel of John is, and they're elders in a church. Come on, folks. And then you wonder why we don't have any passion or any fire. So John the Baptist said, I'm not the one who's going to baptize you in the Holy Spirit and with fire. So even when you got baptized in the Holy Spirit, not only do you have the fire in you because you got saved and God is a fire and He lives in you, when you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, you get more fire.
Yeah. Yes, you do.
And that's the wildfire in my books. Yeah, that really is. You know, so born again, baptized in the Holy Spirit means that you have this passion, you should have this passion for God. And with that passion will come the power of God, the presence of God, and the peace of God. And most of us don't have any of that. All we have is a working knowledge of, well, I raise my hands in worship. We go on Friday night. Sunday mornings we go and get bored. Church is as exciting as you make it, because you're the church. Amen? I go to church on Saturday nights when I'm home. It's as boring as hell. And it meets in my house. I would like to stay home from church. But it's in my home. So it's difficult. How can church be boring? Because they don't have the fire. They have settled for whatever. And they haven't taken issues seriously. And they've not taken time of refreshing. And they're not fanning the flame.
Yes.
They're comfortable. They're safe. They're secure. And God never said any of that was yours.
Okay.
So amen?
Yeah.
So I really want to encourage you that you have the fire. It's in you. It's on you. But what you do with it determines what it can do through you. So just put Jesus first. Seek the kingdom first. And watch what happens to the fire. Amen? So here's what I want you to do. I want you to think about the things that are stopping you right now from walking 100% with God. So it can be a desire, a lust, a dream, the fact that you've read a book that was like Harry Potter, all sorts of things that could be in your life. And then I'm going to give you about 2 minutes of quiet and you're going to repent. Here's what that means. You can change the way you think. So you're walking in this direction. When you finish repenting, you'll be walking in this direction. You will change the way you think about things. It's not a feeling. It may have a feeling connected, but it's not a feeling. It's a thought. It's a change in the way you think. You all know what's preventing you from walking in the fire, from being on fire for God. So do something about it. So what I want you to be is honest with yourself. Now, if you want to know, there's several things in my life that I need to get rid of. Everybody has these things. You know, it's not a sin. It's not bad stuff. It's good stuff that God wants to get rid of so He can give me the best stuff. In one case, it's a concern I have, which has turned into an anxiety. And when you have anxiety, that will turn into fear. And fear is not something that God wants in your life, and that keeps the fire from burning. So start thinking through, I'm going to give you about 3 minutes, what is it in your life that is preventing you from having that hope, that belief, that fire, that, you know, because you see people like Kat's up here and he's on fire for God. She deals with these issues as they come up. I know we talk about it. There's issues. We all have issues. Life happens. In David's life, it happened.
Yeah.
He was running for his life at this point, and he had a prophetic word years before this that hadn't happened.
Yeah.
And he's got a bunch of deadbeats that are with him who are a pain in the butt. So every one of us has these things. So I want you to be real honest with yourself. We won't ask you to do it out loud. And I'm just going to give you 2 or 3 minutes. And I just want you to say, hey, God, sorry, whoops, messed up. Call it what it is. It's a sin. It's not trusting Jesus. Get rid of it tonight. And then don't go back to it. Dogs go back and eat their vomit. We don't. So, amen? Well, that's what the Bible says in Proverbs. So, honestly, I don't want you to take this lightly. Don't get dead serious either. I just want you to think, oh, I've got a couple of things in here. You know, I'm lusting after the boy that's in the next desk at school, or, you know, I'm trying to become wealthy, or I want a ministry. All those, seek first the kingdom. And all those other things will be added. Okay, so everybody understand what we're doing?
Yep.
Okay, bow your heads, close your eyes. That's a typical church thing to do.